Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who here thinks Thomas was unreasonable? So one person said Thomas was unreasonable. Frankly, and this is going to seem a little strange, imagine that Jesus walked through the door of the church into the sanctuary this morning, maybe in 5 minutes. What would your reaction be? What words would you utter? What would you do? What changes would you be prepared to make to your life? Jesus appearing to the disciples after his death was a big deal. Now, yes, it was fulfillment of the prophecy and the promise he made. He said he'd be resurrected, and he kept that promise. But Thomas was not there in that upper room. We don't know where he was. We don't know if he was hiding from the authorities because they were worried that the Romans would be trying to round them all up. We don't know if he was at the local equivalent of Salt Hill on a bender. We do not know. Thomas was not there. And when his colleagues told him they'd seen Jesus, what was his response? Show me his pierced hands. Show me the wound in his side. I want to touch it. Unreasonable? Not really. Doubt is okay. And I say this as a preacher. God has given us brains, and those brains lead us to question the world around us. Now, I'm not saying that all questions are good. There are some, frankly, are stupid. I will make some assertions now. Men have walked on the moon. Now, many of you may have seen the TV broadcast of that event. I vaguely recall watching that when I was a little boy, but I have also seen moon rocks, real moon rocks on display. Now you may say, how do you know they're from the moon? They could have been taken from the yard. I don't think NASA would be involved in that kind of cover-up or conspiracy. But people like their conspiracy theories. The moon landing took place. It wasn't some con job put on in a studio out west. Men walked on the moon. Now, sometimes we need to see things. And those of you who are connoisseurs of old comedies may remember Groucho Marx saying to Margaret Dumont, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Now, of course, in the cold light of day, we know Groucho, we know the person he played in the movies, and we know that the smart thing to do would to believe our blind eyes. But sources of authority like to claim that they are to be believed. The sources of authority we find in the gospel are not those kind of liars. They are reliable. So think about it. What benefit would the authors of the gospel have in making this stuff up? Oh, we're going to tell a story, and our protagonist is going to be God, and God's going to come down and be a human, and everyone's going to ignore him, except for the few losers who follow him around. And then, for the big finale, God is going to be executed. That's a great story. You're not all roused by that? But those people in the first century were, and generations that followed them have been. Why? Because the story is true. We see it in our community. And I've said this before, and I'll say it to the point where we get tired of hearing it, but I hope we don't get tired of hearing it. We care for one another. We help one another out. If you're looking for evidence of the risen Christ, look at your neighbors here in the pews. You're all looking up at me. Look at one another. So I've made a big deal about the Callahan family and the community dinner, and I'm probably making them a little uncomfortable now. But that is a great example of the love of Christ at work. So yes, this is a pitch to any and all of you out there to volunteer to lead a dinner in the future. But the truth is the truth. And it doesn't matter how often people tell us otherwise. So I can tell you things that make no sense. I can tell you complete gibberish, like the Rothschilds have armed lasers up in space. Jewish space lasers. That is a lie. That should be obvious. But some conspiracy theories last through generations. So I subscribe to The Spectator from London, and I get notices on my phone about articles that have been posted. And this morning, an article showed up titled, "When Will People Accept That Hitler Died?" So yes, Adolf Hitler is dead. Thank God. But he is dead. John F. Kennedy is dead. Elvis is dead. None of those supposed sightings of these figures are legitimate or real. They are all gone. Why do people hold on to these strange beliefs yet deny the reality of living Christ? Oh, maybe it's because Christians don't often behave like Christians. So yes, we've got a pretty spotted, checkered history from over the years. But so do Muslims, and so do Jews, and so do Hindus, and so does every religious group. And so too do the non-religious. But it is okay still to entertain doubts, to wonder, where is God? When you're having a difficult moment, when a relationship isn't working out, when your career is not going where you want it to go, it is all right to ask where God is. Remember Jesus on the cross, that plaintive cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And those were words from Jesus' Bible, which is our Bible, from the 22nd Psalm. It is okay to have doubts. The question is, do we surrender to those doubts? Do we put our tinfoil hats on and believe that the moon landing was fake? Do we believe that somehow John F. Kennedy is still alive at the age of 100 and whatever now? Do we give in to those crazy notions? Doubt is something that we should all have. Skepticism is okay in the church, but, I feel like a parent now, but it should be used within reason. So I think the reason Jesus reacted the way he did to Thomas, saying, okay, you want to look at the hands? You want to look at the side? Here I am. What disappointed Jesus wasn't so much Thomas's doubt, but the fact that Thomas had removed himself from the company of his colleagues and his friends after Jesus' death. In his time of need, he went off by himself. He thought he could handle it on his own. And that's not true. I don't know if we call this history or legend, but Thomas, supposedly the apostle who went out to India and spread the word about Jesus there. So clearly, Thomas, who utters those fateful words, "My Lord and my God," who's the first person recorded confessing that Jesus Christ is God, played a really big role in the church going forward. But Jesus is not here this morning. And yet, whatever your level of faith, if you have faith in Jesus, you are blessed. Jesus told us that here in the gospel. Those who do not have not seen me but believe are blessed. That is all of us. Doesn't matter whether you're a regular churchgoer, whether you're on the peripheries, God loves you. No doubts, no questions, no lies, no skepticism. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of the disciples. We thank you for their faithful witness. We also thank you, somewhat hesitantly, about the way we can identify with them. With Peter shirking away from you at the end, with the way Thomas asked questions. Yet we know they remained true to you. And we ask that you help us to remain faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.